Out of dreams, brother.
Amen.
I like to preach on stuff that's real life, that actually relates to my life and to your life, because all of our lives are interconnected in some way. So I like to give you something that's real and something that you can grab hold of and take hold of, and that'll maybe help you tomorrow or the next day in your life. And I believe God designed it that way. So, this morning I'm going to preach on control. That would be the subject of this sermon, control. I believe it was Mother's Day. Me and Rachel rode over to Helen and had dinner with a friend of ours. Which was at nighttime, Sunday afternoon. And we got to be with our family. And let us not forget about Jessica on the prayer fest. And we were on our way over the mountain. We were listening to some modern gospel music, which is, if that's what you listen to, I don't find with me. But the song was playing. That was a nice little tune. You could have tapped your foot and bent your knee to it. It was a nice little tune. And the words went something like, "Give God control of your life. Give God control of your life. Hey, hey, yeah." And you know, before long you'd be tapping your foot and bouncing to that and saying, "Oh, that's a good song." But I don't think the writer realized that God's already in control of your life.
Mm-hmm.
He already controls what you do, what you say, what you think. You're one of His. I thought that writer could have did a better job of writing that song. Praise God that He has control of your life.
Amen.
Got a lot to praise Him for this morning. This is the first time in months that I've been down here not sick. It's been since December. Every time I was here, I was sick. But I'm not sick today. And I praise God for that. I understand the meaning of what the writer of that song was trying to get across about giving God control of your life. But more, the deeper meaning more, is understanding that God does control your life. God control my life would have been a better fit. Not only does God control your life, God, the Armenians said, "Oh, God controls the waves and the sea and the waves and the wind and the weather. God controls everything." But when it comes to their life, they rob God.
Right.
They rob God. They say, "I control my life. It's by my decision will I be saved." It's sad, and that song robs God. It robs Him. Listen, the Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Neither do they come to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. That's why they don't come to the light. I was debating with a man on the internet. I like to do that. This is pertaining to my life. It's real, what I'm telling you. And they had put up a meme about their free will. And I just, free will's a myth. And that set them off. And I'm not ashamed to say he came back with some things that sharpened my tools, you know, that made me have to think and have to study. Well, first of all, he said I was a NPC, and I had no idea what an NPC was. Not a clue. Isaiah may know, I don't know. Some of the younger folks may know what that is. That's a non-playing character. You find them in video games. Does anybody know? Am I the only one that was in the dark? Well, when my young girls were coming up, I had got them a little video game, and I remember we'd play that Tomb Raider, where she'd go through the caves and the tombs, if some of y'all may remember that. Well, there was one particular cave you went in, and you got in there, and a bear jumped out. That's an NPC, that bear. It's part of the program. And there was no way to get away from that bear without jumping in the pool. And you, as long as you was in that pool swimming around, that bear couldn't get you. And you'd dive down and swim, and there was a door down there with a lock. The thing is, you had to get the key in the previous level. You had to already have it to get past that bear. Well, anyway, he referred to people that believe like we do in predestination and God's sovereignty as NPCs. And he made the reference that y'all are just in our way. I'm sure the man was an atheist. That people that believe like us need to be taken out of their way. That we're the reason society is in a mess. Because we have a foundation of our belief. He said, you're a robot, is what he said. You're a robot. Listen, brother, listen. Those that believe in free will are in a prison with bars that they cannot see. They're trapped in there.
Yeah.
I told him, you may decide to turn left or to turn right, but you're still trapped within that game. And I hate to refer to life as a game, but that was the context that we were talking about. He said, you're a robot. Okay, well, maybe I am. Okay, but the prodigal son's free will is what got him eaten out in the hog trough.
Right.
And when he came to himself, God showed him everything that got you here was your will. Listen, he said, the servants eat better at my father's house than I do. Servants. It's not all bad being under God's thumb.
Yeah.
It's not. Listen. I was saved in an Armenian Baptist church, and I thought for years that I made the decision to serve God and to give my life to Christ. It turns out that's not the whole truth. Let me get you some Bible if you're going. Let's leave my opinion off. God said to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out from the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee to be a prophet. God ordained you to be saved. When you got saved, when they preached the gospel of salvation, you came to the realization that God saved you, that you had nothing. That it was all on him, and that your free will just did the prodigal son. Listen, he came to himself, the Bible says. And he realized, the servants eat better in my father's house than I do. He wanted the corn husk out of the hog trough. Before you were formed in the belly, God knew who you were. John chapter 6, verse 37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. For I came from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. And that's how we should be. Because you're in the prison of free will. Your will leads only to corruption. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Neither do they come to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. That's why these pews aren't full this morning. You step into the light, God starts showing you how unworthy you really are. I thank God for my salvation. I thank God that when I was a 12, 13-year-old boy, that he made me realize some things. And even though at the time I thought it might be what I was doing, I've later found out it's not nothing that I did, it's all that he did. Mm-hmm. He brought me to the realization how hopeless my situation really is. How hopeless I am without him. That he enlightens you to show you that you're not sufficient in yourself. You're hopeless. Well, this morning, God still owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I'm telling you. Control the air you breathe. The sun that shines. The Bible said the rivers flow and they flow on the ocean and the ocean fills never full. Do they return to the place? Yes, they return to that place. God set it in order. You set your life in order too. If you're saved, he will free you from that free will that drives you to the hog trough. Hey, listen. I'm less of a robot than the atheist with free will. Because I know where their will leads. Let me give you another verse. Psalms 119, verse 133. Psalms 119, verse 133. The psalmist said, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. That kind of brings us to the second point of my message. God has ordered our steps. I remember when I was a young man one time in the military, we were unloading a great big building off a tractor trailer truck. Had big old metal pipes underneath it so it would roll. And I stepped up and that building come off and that pipe went right over my head and knocked my hat off. And God ordered my steps. God put me exactly where I was at. That that pipe didn't take my head off. Right. One step this way, one step that way, and Craig would not be here. My steps were ordered by God to be in the right place at the right time, whether I knew it or not. The book of Luke says, even the very hairs on your head are numbered. That's written in your DNA. Who wrote all that information in your DNA? I like to ask the Armenian that. Of course, God has an easier count with some of us than others. But He knows the very number of hairs on your head. He ordered it. He wrote it. He wrote it down in history. David said, order my steps in thy word. You see, the difference between me and the atheist in that game called life is I have directions. He doesn't. He's going by his free will. I'm going by what God told me to do. He said, in my word, your steps are ordered. If you need direction, if you need to get to that other level, if you need to get past that bear, you look for God's Word. He'll order your steps in it. You'll know which way to turn, left or right, up or down. And if the chance comes by chance, you don't know which way to turn, left or right, He's got that under control too. He's ordered your steps. He knows how many hairs is on your head. He knows how many breaths you take every day. They like to try to fool God that He's not in control. He is in control. If he wasn't in control, there would be no order in this world. There would be no order in your life. We'd live in anarchy. Ephesians 1:4 says, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. That's your guide. That's directions. First Peter 2:21 says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. How are you going to follow in His steps if you don't have the guide? There's marks and there's signs of the true Christianity. Did you know that? There's telltale signs of whether you are or whether you're not. That would be one of them right there. Do you have a final authority in your life? That you can say, this is the truth. I've read this Bible and I've read things in there that rubbed me the wrong way. That I thought, well, in my human intellect, I would have did it different than that. But I still turn to say, no matter what I think, no matter what happens, God wrote down the guide. God wrote down the final truth. And you're to follow in those steps. Your free will is going to lead you right into destruction. Another sign of a true Christian is the grief about sin.
Right.
Y'all all sin. Don't try to fool me. I know.
Yeah.
I'm not immune. I get it. But what happens afterwards? That's the question. It's like a bunch of teenage boys, one running to his friends, "Hey, I broke out the window over there at Sister So-and-so's house. He don't know who did it." No remorse. Pride. They're proud of what they do. You haven't seen the pride parades? Where they hold it up and march with banners in the streets? "Look at what I've done. Look at what I do. Look at how I live my life." They take pride in sin. A true Christian is dog ashamed of it. And the first thing he wants to do is repent of it and never have that again. Never again. He wants that out of his life. Another sign is you realize the actual sacrifice that was given for your sin. Paul said in the book of Luke, I believe it's Luke. My notes are jumbled, so take it for my word, this is in the Bible. You can look it up. "Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made none effect." It's not my reasoning that we're going by here today. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God." Listen, you start telling the truth about Christ and His sacrifice and His suffering for you, and then you'll start to realize that that's where the power of God is. That's the power of God. It's God's power. Not the preacher's power. It's not the church's power. It belongs to God.
Amen.
And when that gospel is preached, the realization of what you really are will be made manifest by the power of God and what Christ suffered to get you into the family. The Bible says, "All the Father giveth me shall come to me." Jesus said that. "And him that cometh, I will no wise cast out." I heard an old preacher one time, he related it like this. He said, "If I dropped a quarter down there and who would get that quarter?" "Well, it would be the fellow that come picked it up." The guy that picks it up. Nobody's going to move off of those pews without God saying so, without the power of God working in their life. It'll be the guy that comes down here and picks it up. It'll be the guy that God moved upon, that God made him open his eyes and realize that he was insufficient. And in that, Paul goes on to say, "For it's written," he referred back to the guide, "it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." You're not going to smart your way into heaven. It's beyond your understanding. Without the power of God working in, through the Holy Ghost in your life, you're lost hopelessly. He will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise, he asked? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has God not made foolishness the wise of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. You can't know God by your intellect, by your wisdom, by your smarts. It doesn't work that way. That's foolishness unto God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. By the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the gospel. That's where the power of God rests. That's where the power of God lies. In that gospel, in Jesus Christ, in the work that He did on Calvary for your salvation. Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in that way, in His way. Listen, I never had real peace in my life until I came to the understanding that God controls it all. You want to talk about some peace that passes all understanding? If I had to depend on myself, I'd be in a tragic situation.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, once you become to the knowledge of that truth, that your free will is your enemy, and that everything happens because God ordered your steps, whether it be good, whether it be bad, you actually don't know whether it's good or bad. Then you'll find peace that passes all understanding. You won't be able to understand it. The worst tragedy in the world could happen and you'll still flow like a river. Didn't we talk about that verse yesterday? All things happen for the good. According to that purpose. God has a purpose in everything. God has a plan in everything. Some of the hardest things for me to understand, why I have two brothers in the graveyard out there. Why my father passed away at 50 years old. We don't have a full understanding of those matters. But we have that guide. We have God's Word. It says all things happen for the good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. In that I find peace. That's been my new saying lately. I just flow like a river. Sometimes it's white water, brother. It's waterfalls. It's roaring. That water, it doesn't bother that water a bit. It goes right down through, and the next thing is still moving. I see God's purpose in that. I see it in my life. And see, y'all think I come here to preach to y'all. I don't. I come here to preach to me. I don't think I can get through to y'all. I can get through to me because I've lived a life with God. It's been good and it's been bad, but it's all been according to His purpose. Even when I stumbled and fell, even when I found myself eating out of the hog trough. And you'll come to yourself and you'll look up and you'll say, even the servants in my father's house seem better than me. So yes, believing in the Word of God, you're less of a prisoner than a man that thinks his will gets him through life. The book of Romans, verse 9 and 16, and I'm just about through. I don't think you can stand anymore. Romans chapter 9, verse 16. So then, it is not of him that willeth, or him that runneth, but it's God that shows the mercy. God did it. He did it all. I think a lot of this free will business comes. That people get messed up because they don't understand the natures of God. God has three natures, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And they try to lump God into their little box. God's Alpha and Omega. He wrote that damn book of life before even the foundation of the world. You don't think he knows what you're going to do tomorrow? Where you're going to be? Who you're going to be with? Why you're going to be there? Hey, listen. If you're missing peace in your life, stop depending on your will. Start depending on God's will. I just need to find that last verse. And it's in Philippians 4:4. Let's read Philippians 4:4 and then I'm going to close. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. That's it, brother. I'm done.